from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch.
Welcome to this week's From Scratch. I'm Martin Cousins and...
My name is Nigel Payne.
So this week, dear listener, we are talking about peer learning. And Nigel, give us a quick rundown of what exactly peer learning is and why you think organisations should be focusing on using it.
Essentially, peer learning is a culture that enables people and kind of expects people to learn from each other, colleagues. So spontaneous, informal, and widespread learning from everyone in the organization. And in distributed organizations, that's obviously distributed learning. In smaller organizations, it's more person-to-person, face-to-face. And the reason I'm interested, Martin, is that I've been working with a bunch of organizations across Europe on leadership. And we worked on 8 core beliefs at the way that leadership is evolving or transforming at the moment. And one of the beliefs is this: group and peer learning encourage not only individual, but collective learning and a focus on the organization as a whole. And I think that's a great emphasis and why I'm very interested in peer learning. It's not just about I'm better informed because I can talk to my colleague Martin. It's that we are sharing across the organization our collective insights, and we're thinking about how the organization, what it needs, how the organization grows, and not just focusing on my job, my role, get it done, go home. So it's a sort of profound part of the way work is evolving, I think. So peer-to-peer learning is not just something interesting or maybe useful in certain circumstances. It becomes a fundamental of the modern organization if it's going to survive. It accelerates learning and shares and distributes learning around the organization. That's why I'm interested. Does that make sense, Martin?
Yeah, and I totally get it, because you know, learning and development provision within an organization just doesn't scale. So learning cannot be the department that ensures everyone knows what to do in order to do their job. It's just that is a nonsense to even think that's what L&D is there to do. So that does rather beg the question: if we have organizations in which peer learning takes place and is very effective, well, it begs the question, well, what is the role of L&D? So yes. If the role of L&D is to enable that,
yes. Then
that's quite an interesting new focus.
I agree. It's like function. L&D's role is to build that kind of learning ecosystem. So it puts all the components in place. And one of the things Eric Duffy from Path Gathering says, which is quite, I think, also quite profound, he says, you know, stop looking for the nirvana. Stop looking for the piece of software, the system, the process that will do everything and be the answer to your dreams, because that doesn't exist. What you've got to do is look for components that will work and plug them all together. So you build an ecosystem. You don't look for a supplier who's supplying Learning Ecosystems Limited. And therefore, you've got an active role in L&D of informing, facilitating, managing, and enabling that process, and not doing it. The doing is left to the staff.
In some senses, that is what we are now talking about, isn't it? And that's a very different role. I mean, this is a conversation about peer learning, but actually, it kind of lifts the lid on a whole other can of worms, which is, what is the role of L&D in all of those areas that you've just mentioned? And it is not, its role is not reflected currently in the job descriptions for new jobs. If you want to go and work as an L&D manager, this is not what we were talking about. If you walked into an organization now and said, right, what I would do is give compliance to the business, and what I will do is enable learning across this business, I suspect you're going to get people on the other side of the table saying, well, that is not what we expect of an L&D team, surely.
And that is a kind of fascinating conversation, and a conversation that we ought to have, because if you get pushback from the other side of the table, what it's really saying is that the only learning we really value is the stuff that ticks boxes and creates at least a framework of compliance that is auditable by anyone outside. And that is not learning. That's a framework of compliance. So again, Duffy says that because compliance has got so interwoven with the core role of L&D, it distorts that role fundamentally. And you've got to get rid of that if you're going to create what we, or what organizations should desire, which is informed, focused learning everywhere, and an organization that by learning begins to solve its own problems, begins to adjust to the environment that is so disruptive outside, and where everyone inside feels they have a real contribution to make and feels empowered and feels that they're making progress. You know, they're understanding and getting on top of that world rather than being treated by it. Why would you not want that?
I think that's a great question. My final thought on this would be a lot of L&D teams are built on designing and delivering compliance training. So that would mean that those teams would be giving that up. And that could be costly for that team in some ways, but one can't help thinking that actually putting that somewhere else in the business would free up the team to do the stuff you just talked about. And that's the future. The future is not delivering compliance training.
I think that the compliance training has to be delivered, and I think someone should do it, but I don't think it's the core role of the L&D team. So say it could be costly, but you can also say it could be liberating. And on that very word, liberating L&D, we should say excellent conversation. Thank you, Mark.
Yeah, thanks, Nigel. That was really good. From scratch.